Play action, steps back in the pocket, being chased, hit, down he goes. Marco Coleman got it to the 35-yard line.
Welcome to the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. Cole Pepper and Marco Coleman will break down today's Jaguars game and take a look around the rest of the NFL, as well as take your calls, tweets, and Facebook questions. The Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Sonny's Barbecue, Ticket Exchange, Wells Fargo, Carry Limousine, your local Jacksonville Teal Deals merchants, and by Everbank.
Let's get the show started.
Here are Marco Coleman and Cole Pepper.
Jaguars win it 41-14. We will spend some time talking about mojo, about the defense, about Mel Tucker, about the quarterback, and about the rest of the season as it stands. And we'll take your calls as well at 800-355-NFL1. But we'd like to start off the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show with Marco's Money Players.
And I know you're thinking.
I think you got a tough decision here.
I really do. And I know what everyone's thinking. You know, the record-breaking MJD. But I'm tired of giving him all the money. How about the guy that sparked it all?
I agree with you.
M.O.
Yep. Montel Owens. That's his M.O.
That's his M.O.
Make plays on special teams.
Two calls, yep. Fumbles. I mean, he got the team going. And I think we had a little skit earlier today about this guy being a team player.
Yes. Yep.
And that's what he is. He lifted his team today on the victory. He changed the whole momentum of the game.
Let's talk about the quarterback for a moment. The stretch of the game today, in particular in the second quarter, when the Jaguars are really rolling, is the reason in my mind that you don't give up on a rookie quarterback who's 22 years old, who would be a true senior this year, and who has the physical tools that Gabbert has. Is he a finished product? Far from it. But he showed you what he can do. Again, he's a rookie. Rookie quarterbacks don't show you what they're going to be. They show you what they can be, right? And so for everybody who was jumping off the Blaine Gabbert express, I think it's a mistake. I think you stay with him, and there, you know, you let him prove and improve over this offseason. Spend a full, you know, he didn't have a real offseason as a rookie. And you can say, well, look at the other rookies. Okay, doesn't matter. He didn't have a real offseason. He's going to benefit from having a real full offseason.
And it really helps when the people around him do
catch
well.
The football.
You know, that's to me, I think, was the biggest thing today. I mean, my only issue has been with Blaine as far as watching the rush. Other things we know he's going to work on and get better at, but he's got to understand how he's got to stay in the pocket. He did better at that today, but there are still some moments where he could have had some throws if he would have not been looking at the rush. But today, guys caught the ball. I mean, other than really the only pass I would say that was really legitimately just dropped, it was the one that Osgood had. And other than that one, Mercedes caught the ball. You found that West can catch the ball. You found out that Mr. Dillis has the surest hands. You need to get the ball to him more often. You know, and then throwing it to MJD. I mean, that is probably now the security blanket right there in the middle. If those linebackers want a bell and you sit MJD in the middle, you can count on him picking up another 15 to 20 yards after the catch.
How about that throw to Mercedes down the seam?
I mean, that was – hey, he caught the ball. That was the thing. He caught the ball. You know, and that – because, you know, you figure a few weeks ago, he would have been wide open like that in some kind of way. He would not have caught.
I don't know. Blaine put so much mustard on that thing. I don't know if Mercedes had much time to turn around and think about it much. I mean, he zipped it. That is a world class throw to be able to put the ball where he did, with the velocity he did. Now, there was a throw in the end zone to Mercedes that he airmailed it, and maybe a little behind him. One of the things I think he's got to work on, talking about Gabbert, is being able to take a little something off. Mm-hmm. But most rookies are that way. Most rookies who have strong arms, who have that cannon arm, you know, they need to learn to take a little something off. I'm just reading a quote on John Osher's Twitter feed from Bucks cornerback E.J. Biggers on Gabbert. He didn't play like a rookie. He did everything he had to do. You couldn't tell he was a rookie quarterback.
Well, you know, just like we discussed earlier, you know, the question that you had about Gabbert learning from this season. Mm-hmm. And my comment was, each time he has an opportunity to go out and play, it's going to make him that much better. So by him just being out there every play, winning. Now he had some success. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to see how he goes about handling the success now. You know, so, and I'm going to have to say Cutter did a good job of calling the type of plays to keep him under control. You know, it wasn't a lot of down the field. Other than the big play to Mercedes, mm-hmm. And it wasn't, you know, a lot of deep balls. It was just controllable throws that where he was real comfortable with being able to throw, and that was a good job. And I think Dirk also is getting to learn more about what the abilities of Gabbard are right now.
All right, you can win a VIP game day experience to the Jaguars-Colts game New Year's Day from Gate. Four game day tickets, four VIP Sky Patio lounge passes, and a limo for four people to and from the game. Stop by your nearby Gate gas station to register. Jaguars fans, put Gate in your tailgate. This portion of the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Rouse Chiropractic Clinic. We will take your calls when we come back. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351, or you can tweet to me at Cole Pepper if you're on Twitter. Back with more after this timeout on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show here on Jaguars Radio. Back, Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here. Fans, just text BBQ to 72239. Enter for a chance to win the Sunday's Game Ball Delivery Contest. You can hand the game ball to the ref at the start of the Jaguars' final home game against the Colts. And Monday, December 19th, that is a week from tomorrow, RPM Automotive at 9148 Phillips Highway near the Avenues invites you to join them for cookies with the Jaguars rookies from noon till 2. They'll be signing autographs, sharing cookies, and giving you a chance to win an autographed football and club seats to the Jaguars-Colts game on
my girl
New
Valerie's over at that RPM. Oh, well, what's up, Val?
Oh, just make sure she takes good care of you over there.
She always does, man. Great lady.
All right, 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. One other note, just seeing as I'm keeping an eye on the Twitterverse here, Tanya Ganguly of the Times Union reporting that Scobie actually hurt his leg in warm-ups.
Kickers.
But he played through it, and the Jaguars had the luxury of shutting him down late.
Come on, Scobie.
That's it. Let me say this. As Russell Allen, don't quit your day job.
Really?
That was not. That was there. The guy who kicked at the halftime
the
promotion
kick and pass.
Did a better job on Russell. I mean, come on, buddy.
That was crazy.
I guess Nick Harris,
I think he was excited. You can tell how he was
amped up.
I mean, defensive players are not going to be good kickers.
Yeah, but that guy was trying to win a car lease. He's more excited to kick that. Come on.
He played well today also.
Oh, he did.
I have to say.
Yeah, he's played well.
He had a really good job.
Except for maybe on
just
swinging
no
the leg through
it. Kickoff.
What do you say we take some calls here?
Let's do it.
All right, 800-355-NFL1. Let's go to the north side first. John is up here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. John, how you doing?
Oh, great. How you guys doing?
Good. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about the coach.
All right.
In the coaching. My opinion, there's three things that I kind of like grade a coach on. And one is, I hope I'm losing my train of thought here. One is that he prepares the team, make sure that they, the strategy. Two is he makes sure the team plays efficiently. And three, he lights a fire under them, gets them motivated. Now, I got a feeling. I got a good feeling about this coach. I got a good feeling because the players seem to have responded to him emotionally. Mm-hmm. And that's a good thing. If you look at all the good coaches, I think throughout the history of football, all of them had those three things. But I think they were really good at motivating the players at the proper time to get the job done.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you, but I think the second thing you said, you talk about getting the details and take that sort of thing. The motivation's one thing. I don't think this has been a team that's lacked motivation this year. I think they've lacked some structure and some discipline and some attention to detail.
Like Eugene had mentioned, mm-hmm. as far as spending more time with the 2-minute drill, more up tempo in practice as it pertains to the offense, and it's translating. This is a different offense than what we have seen, Mel Tucker era, I'll say.
Well, one thing too, I'd like to say is, and that is, they did real. Sounds like they did. I didn't get to see the game. I listened to it on the radio. That they did a real good job inside the red zone there. They came away with touchdowns instead of just field goals, and that's I'm glad to see that.
Yeah, that listen, when you score in the red zone, you're going to have success because you're going to get in there. And touchdowns rather than field goals, or field goals rather than nothing. I mean, listen, it's no shock. Every team in the history of the NFL who has scored more than their opponents in a game has won.
And you know, too.
Of course.
Right?
Of course.
And I'm going to say, too. Oh, go ahead.
They got the ball in the right player's hands inside the 20. That hasn't always happened in the past.
Yeah, I like that. I agree with you. I like their approach today.
Yeah, I would say, too, I think that by allowing some of the guys that the whole team have watched all season long prepare and play, go hard in practice. Like, for instance, Harris. I bet you he's in practice giving them fits. Mm-hmm. The tight end that
Mel
scored
said
on
just
the,
that, matter
yeah,
of
the guy that scored the on the scoop, the tight end that scored on the fumble on
Clarity,
the yeah, Clarity. Having Osgood, you know, come out there and play some wide receiver, West. And although there were some injuries that created those opportunities, these guys are in the game. And I think a lot of guys, they see the way they work, and they're not actually out there and preparing, but they're on the scout teams. Guys like that. And they get excited to see those guys make plays, and that translates into big plays for your mainstay players.
And if you follow the Jaguars' transactions and you see continually things like, practice squad changes, or this guy added to the roster, and this guy bottom of the roster stuff. Sometimes the bottom of the roster guys wind up getting forced into service, and what Gene Smith tries to do every week is try to make the roster better than it was the week before.
And I'm going to have to say, you have to right now take your hat off to Gene Smith and that scouting department, because they have guys out there, for like Ubody and those guys last week going up against Aaron Rodgers was a tall task to begin, to be your first time going out being a starter. But here you saw they looked a lot more comfortable. They made Josh Freeman look like he doesn't belong in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys are guys that were picked up by the scouting department led by Mr. Gene Smith. Yeah,
in midseason. All right, John, we appreciate the call. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. We stay on the north side. Edward's up next here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Edward, how you doing?
Hey, guys, how's it going? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing. What's on your mind?
Nothing. You actually said it already. Marco Cole, receivers, catching the ball, man, just keeping it simple, making it easy for Gabbard out there.
Amazing what happens when you catch it, isn't it?
yeah. You make the quarterback look good, don't they?
Now, all of a sudden, Gabbard is the guy that we thought he was, and it was nothing more than just guys catching the ball. And that's part of the game. You got to be – if you're a wide receiver, you have to catch the ball. And, I hope that all – I hate that – the guys Thomas and Shorts got hurt. But I think you keep these guys out there that played in the course of this game. And those guys, I know Thomas has got the money and everything, but now he's going to have to come out the bench because these guys did well today. They were able to keep the passing game and everything going with the guys that were out there. I hope they continue to find some time to allow those guys to still participate in that passing game.
I think Weston Dillard looked pretty good out there, man. They were making plays for the quarterback.
I think Dillard's, when he's been on the field, has been the best receiver the Jaguars have had this year.
Yeah,
I agree.
His hands are, he has the best hands.
Yep. Catches the ball. All right, Edward, appreciate the call. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Let's go to Big John in the stadium parking lot. Big John, you're up on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show.
Hey, I had two. In the beginning of the game, they were doing a couple bad throws by Gabbard a little while, but when I saw towards the end of the game, he was doing, but while it was raining up there, I couldn't believe it, he was throwing it excellently, like it was nothing.
Yeah, he got off to a little bit of a slow start. One of those throws, I think, wasn't as bad as it looked because Mercedes had slipped coming out of his break as Blaine was throwing it. But he had a couple that were off the mark. But then he got into that rhythm as we noted. He had one stretch in the second half there, or second quarter. He had completed 10 of 13 in a stretch. And that was all part of that, that two-minute drive was a part of that. So much better day for Blaine Gabbert today.
Big John.
Big John, what was your other point you wanted to hit on?
And the other one was I saw the defense did great this other game. I saw a lot of effort in the beginning quarter, and they were going after them like always.
Yeah, this has been a good effort team, Marco, don't you mm-hmm. think, all year long? The defensive – the performance has been very good most of the year. The effort has been very good all year long, I think.
And I think with Mel being the head coach – that has sparked the defense even more. Having that intimate time with Mel in there as the defensive coordinator, now him taking it across the whole team because of the way he wants the guys to practice. The offense now is making the defense better, I think, because of the way they have to go about their work during the week. And although you may have these guys that are backups that are coming out, because of the tempo that he's demanding in practice, is getting guys really game ready as they come into these games. Like I said, the urgency, I talked about at the beginning of the season, this team now is playing with that type of urgency that they should have had when the season started.
All right, Big John, thanks for the call. Enjoy the celebration after the ballgame there in the parking lot. And well, the Jaguars get it done on both sides, all three phases. The offense, defense, special teams not only scored but contributed in major ways today. Bueller Swiss Watch Company is proud to be the official watch of the Jaguars. Bueller Swiss Watches are available at Jacobs Jewelers in Jacksonville, Faceted Rainbow in Ocala, Lorraine's Diamond Tree in Middleburg, Trezor's Fine Jewelers in Palatka, and J. Carbone Jewelers in Valdosta. This portion of the Southern Four Dealers Scoreboard Show brought to you by Isilborn Chiropractic and Sports Medicine. We're back with an injury update and more of your calls at 800-355-NFL1. This is the Southern Four Dealers Scoreboard Show after the Jaguars 41-14 victory over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers right here on Jaguars Radio. We welcome you back to the Southern Four Dealers Scoreboard Show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here. Time for an injury update brought to you by Baptist Health, Jacksonville Circle of Care. Mike Thomas left the game, did not come back after a blow to the head. That's a concussion to you and me. Cecil Shorts with a hamstring. Mel Tucker saying after the game that he returned, he could have gone back in, but they were being cautious. Chris Brzezinski left the game with a hand or a finger and got it casted up and then came back in. That's some good cowboy, yeah,
typical,
tough guy.
That's typical, strong cowboy safety,
yeah.
Fashion.
Kasim Osgood left the game, then came back, and Scobie with a leg strain sustained in pregame.
Jeez.
And fought his way through. Not a lot of time for these guys to rest up. Quick turnaround for the game on Thursday. That's the injury update brought to you by Baptist Health, Jacksonville Circle of Care. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Let's go to Gary in Fernandina Beach, who's up next here on the Southern Four Dealers Scoreboard Show. Gary, how you doing?
Guys, how you doing?
All right, Gary, good to hear from you again.
Formerly from Mandarin, I got to ask forgiveness. I was not at the game because I was moving all day today.
I absolve you of your sins.
So I'll stay away more if we get games like that. But anyway.
Yeah, if you're the cause, we're going to have to distract you a little bit more on Thursday night.
I've already gotten about three phone calls in a similar regard. Anyway, I just wanted to congratulate the whole team, and Mel Tucker especially, number one. Number two, to remind everybody, coming up this Thursday night, this is a little bit of a blood match. Mike Smith used to be, our memory serves, our defensive coordinator.
Yep, that's mm-hmm. correct.
And so I think this is going to be a little bit more of a mini rivalry, I guess.
You know, there are three reasons.
I don't know if that's the right word.
Three reasons I would not. I would not say there's. First of all, there aren't a lot of guys left on the defense who played for Mike Smith. Secondly, everybody liked Mike, and folks were generally happy for him to have gotten the promotion and moved up to head coach, and he's had success there as well. And the other thing is, you know, he was a Jack Del Rio hire. Mm. So with Del Rio no longer here, a little different. I mean, you know, from a Jaguars fans' perspective, you can keep an eye on it. But I don't think it's going to impact the game very much.
But you probably
anyway.
Look for
congratulations,
pretty...
guys! It was really, really. The special teams came in. That was obviously the spark. Defense from where we were the first game of the season. You know, it's a whole new team. It's a whole different team, like you guys said. With so many injuries.
Yeah,
and,
I mean, literally, there. I had to pull up the roster because I was who's that guy? Yeah, and that usually happens in the preseason, but it doesn't happen in the regular season very often.
Yeah, we all were. Well, Mel Tucker, you deserve a game ball, and well done, guys. A lot of fun. A lot of fun listening to it. It sure made moving furniture a lot more fun today.
Well, if that's the case, just leave your number, and next time I got to get some stuff cleared out, I'll give you a ring.
Take care, guys.
All right, Gary, thanks for the call. 800-355-NFL1. Go to Lucas in Maryland, who's up next. Lucas, you're up here on the Southern Four Dealer Scoreboard Show.
All righty, I'll be quick with this. I'm basically saying, you know, you got Del Rio leaving, you got Mel Tucker coming back in here, and I think next year you got to re-sign Mel Tucker, give him at least another 2 years, and let him bring in his own offensive staff, minus Ryan Leaf, quarterback coach, minus Dirk Cutter, minus the entire offensive staff, because, you know, this is one game, I'll give him that, but you got to admit, the rest of the season's just been horrible, and we have to move on from the Dirt Cutter era. And I'll take your response off the air.
All right, thanks for the call. I don't think this is enough to have turned Mel Tucker into the front runner for the job. But again, you know, this is all, we're all taking this sort of as a thought, which is we think we have a decent idea of how the process is going to take place. But remember, you've got three key decision makers involved in this process of finding the new head coach. You've got Wayne Weaver, you've got Shad Khan, and we would think you'd have Gene Smith involved as well. So interesting to see how it would play out. I know that Gene thinks highly of Mel Tucker, and he's talked about that publicly the last couple of weeks. And so we'll see. It all comes back to who's going to be the guy who is going to be the best guy to get the Jaguars back where they need to be on the field, and as a result, get the energy and enthusiasm back. Now, if the Jaguars roll off a couple of wins here at the end of the year, if they win, you know, 3 of 5, 4 of 5 at the end of the year under Mel Tucker, I think folks will start to look at it a little differently, perhaps. There may be a little more energy behind Mel Tucker. Today doesn't hurt as far as that's concerned.
And if he gets those wins, what it does is it builds momentum. And now you're not going to have a wholesale change personnel-wise, you know, with Gene still being the general manager. So now it really makes sense to keep a guy that the team is responding to next season. Because if you don't bring him back, you know, after seeing the team really respond well to him, then the next year, the new guy, now you're going to have to make some changes, because now everybody's got to adapt to a whole different voice. You know, and I think that if Mel can find a way to have this team playing well the rest of this season, that I think it really makes sense to keep him, because you give the team an opportunity to stay with the same. You get some consistency in a atmosphere where it's been so inconsistent over the past 12 months, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I think it's so early to start saying that. We're talking about it because but there's, you got three games remaining.
You got to see how they handle.
You got to see how it all plays out. 800-355-NFL1. Let's go to Brandy on the west side, who's up next on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Brandy, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
Hey, Brandy.
I have a question for Marco. You guys had mentioned, I believe last week, that we should shut down Drew for the rest of the year and just kind of rest him. Do you guys still feel the same way now that he's in the lead for rushing title?
Yeah, I think this is just keeping him for next year. He's the face of the franchise. I'm not saying completely shut him down, but not have him take the 25, 30, not allowing him to be 47% of the offense again. Because right now, just take one blow, and you're going to need him again next year. He's going to be the reason why the team does well again next year. I'm not saying just shut him down completely, but maybe just reduce it, because you give opportunities for other guys to see if they can step up and help the team win. Because that's who you're going to also have to worry about, or you're going to need to be accountable in the event something happens to Maurice Jones-Drew. You don't know who's going to be the guy. Okay, you have, Jennings, that's been hurt all season. Yep. But you don't know how a guy's going to recover after a season-ending injury. You just don't know. But now you do have guys that you can actually see in game situations how they respond and if they will be accountable, or you can hold them accountable if you have to go without Maurice.
Now, Maurice also has today had 33 touches, 27 carries, 6 catches. Is that too many?
That's a lot, man. I mean, he's getting banged. I mean, everyone knows when they come into the game, we're forcing Gabbert to win this game. So they're lining 9 people up in the box. He is taking some licks. And believe me, this is shortening his career. You know, he's getting up. He's bouncing up. He's a heck of a tough guy. But believe me, this, the continuous pounding is taking a toll on him. You know, here with, like I said, you're not playing for playoffs. I think you protect the franchise. You know, you would do it with a quarterback. You know, wouldn't allow him to just take a beating. I don't think you should do that with Maurice. You should do the same thing with Maurice.
You know, I don't totally agree with you, because I think the lifespan, you know, there's only so much tread on the tires for a running back, and they're going to – I get that. And you're talking about trying to save a little bit. And I wouldn't just run him into the ground. But part of this, too, is trying to establish something as a jumping-off point for next year. And I think not having Maurice in there – you know, you talked about he's such an important part of this offense. I think it makes it very difficult to make it a jumping-off point for next year. The other thing I would point out is this, just as a side note. You're right about Jennings coming back. We don't know how things are there. We've seen, some good things here and there in limited action from Dwan Harris, who had that 24-yard run today, and he looked good in the preseason. But somebody asked me, did I think the Jaguars, if, let's say, Justin Blackmon was not available when they drafted, would the Jaguars draft Trent Richardson? out of Alabama. I mean, I'll tell you this. The Jaguars' best years have been when they've had a 1-2 punch of stud running backs.
You look at the teams that do well
Taylor
running the ball.
James Stewart, Taylor and Maurice Jones-Drew.
And the teams that do well running the ball have
two guys
nice
that can
running,
really
run the ball.
Yeah. And I'll say Richardson is he's a horse.
Because this season, you know, Maurice has really taken a nice licking, you know, to be honest with you. And you figure you got four more games left. I just think it's advantageous for the future to just not take him out. You know, continue to allow him to pad his stats, but just be real cautious on how you handle him, you know, so you can have him 100%. Because you want him to be able to come to training camp and go through the whole training camp. Maybe not play all the preseason games, but you want him to be able to start the 2012 season with the type of legs to hit the ground running. You know, and I think, you know, right here, you just don't want to take those chances of having him not be able to accomplish that.
All right. Brandy, thank you for the call. We'll take more of your calls when we come back. When you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart, 6 Jacksonville location. Stein Mart, more fashion, less price. Oh, the Green Bay Packers are at it again. 31-0 at halftime, leading the Oakland Raiders. Yeah, there's your best team of the league, and it's not even close right now. Back with more of your comments right after this timeout on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio. Coming back to the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show, Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here. You can join us at 800-355-NFL1. Or if you like, if you're on Twitter, you can tweet to me at Cole Pepper, C-O-L-E-P-E-P-P-E-R. Time for the carry of the day, presented by Waste Pro. Let Waste Pro USA carry the load for you. Carry the day. I know who it is, I think, although, I, you know, give
Take
credit. Juwan Harris did have a nice 24-yard run that had a little ferocity in it. But
none of them were record-setting.
Right.
You know, this guy broke, shattered, came, saw, conquered MJD. I mean, you know, I played professional football for 14 seasons, saw the likes of some really good running backs. And I'm going to tell you right now, this guy is by far one of the best I have ever seen. His ability as a runner outside of the pocket, I mean outside of the line of scrimmage, inside, in the open field, making people miss. He's the best, man. Right now, he's the best running back in the league.
Who was the best running back you ever played with?
You know, probably the best I might have to say was Barry Sanders. You know,
yeah, but that'd be tough to beat.
Yeah, but what it is.
You played with Barry?
I played against Barry.
Against, right. Playing on the same team?
Playing on the same team with and watching, I would have to say Steven Davis.
Okay.
When I was with the Washington Redskins. Yep. He had some really good seasons when I was there with the Redskins. He had a short career. That's what I mean about as far as getting injured. He was a 230-pound running back. Now, you figure Maurice is a lot smaller. And he had a similar type of style where he would run you over. He could outrun you. But, it's, you know, when you continuously take that beat and the way this, you know, Maurice is not shying away from contact.
Right.
And that's what I love the most about him. This guy is physical. He can play defense, too, I think.
Put him at safety and
you
let
can put him anywhere.
Somebody.
He could probably line up at offensive line and get some movement. Mm-hmm. You know, he has that type of willpower and ability. You know, he's an outstanding player.
All right. By the way, folks, there are some folks just got a couple tweets say the Jaguars just, you know, ruined their draft pick and the win. Just as a note, let everybody know where they are as of right now. Colts obviously going to have the first pick. They're 0-13. You got the Rams, the Vikings, who have two wins so far. Jaguars, Browns, Redskins, Bucks, and let's see, Dolphins, Panthers all have four wins so far. So that's a bunch. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 teams that the Jaguars are tied with in terms of wins. Now, of course, it comes down to strength of schedule and so forth, but could be, you know, 4 or 5. You could be 10 or 11, you know, there's a lot of movement, and they're based on how things go here the rest of the way. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Kevin just tweeted, today was the game I've been waiting for all season where I knew the offense would start to click. And it did. And earlier somebody asking, you know, is this what you expect the offense to do at minimum all year? Next year? No, I mean, it's so hard to tell. There are pieces that aren't in there. I mean, we know there are some areas that need to be addressed and will be addressed in the offseason. The question is, how will they be addressed? And so it's tough to say what the offense will look like next year, although everybody kind of wants to look forward to that.
But it does help when you play against the 30th-ranked defense.
Doesn't hurt.
It really helps. But you had 31 versus 32, so
And by the way, it's the 32nd offense, right? I guess so you gotta find a way.
Just catching the ball made a big difference.
Right, and I got into a little Twitter back and forth with a friend of mine. I said, no, listen, yeah, it's the Bucs, but it's not Vandy, right? If a college team played every single game against a top 32 ranked defense, you'd say, well, what a murderer's row they had to face. Well, guess what? Every week, every NFL team plays a top 32 defense.
That's, there it is.
So 800-355-NFL1. Saqib's on the south side. Saqib, you're up on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. How you doing?
Hey, what's up, guys?
I'm good.
Much better feeling than a Monday night when I called you guys.
Yeah, you were down on Monday.
I felt like I got kicked in the stomach 500 times, man.
That
and then
hurt.
I was woozy a little bit. But let me say this, man. Maurice Jones-Drew, I don't think that he gets the credit in NFL that he deserves, man. I really don't, man. I don't know why everybody just... I mean, they had 8 or 9 guys at a time, and he still couldn't stop the guy.
I got to be honest with you. I don't think Maurice is lacking from attention around the league if you talk about players, coaches, media, NFL Network. He's known. I mean, and there's no secret about that. Does he get as much exposure and play as, say, Adrian Peterson has nationally with advertisers and so forth? Maybe not, but he gets a lot of attention. There's not a lack of that.
Marco, when you played, and you say you played with some good guys, man. You played against good guys. But if you had to tackle this guy, you'd probably be like, man, well, what do I have to do to just, like, touch? What do I have to do? I mean, this guy is really good, man.
He is.
And for him to set a franchise record today, 73, 74 touchdowns, I mean, I'm sorry. I love Fred Taylor, and I'm a diehard Florida State fan. And I don't like the Gators, okay? But the guy, Fred Taylor, is a king here in Jacksonville. Everybody knows that. But Maurice Jones-Drew, 50 less games, and he has 73 touchdowns. Now, we had Jimmy Smith, we had Keenan McCardell, we had a lot of great guys, and they couldn't do anything like that. The guy is unbelievable, man. And just we have to sit Blaine Gabbert, we have to give him some weapons next year. And I really believe, I know I was down on him, but, you know, I'm trying to turn it around, you know what I mean, on his side. I really want this guy to be better than Brady and better than all these guys. I want this guy to do good. But I just hope James Smith step up and give him some good weapons, and let's see what this guy can do. And, you know, I hope he does really good. And the defense did a great job. After 14-0, we're losing. I was just sitting here and just, like, bawling out. I just couldn't believe, yelling at my TV. I was like, what are you guys doing? But they turned it around, and Montel Owens needs to be in a Pro Bowl, too. I just want to say that, too. Montel Owens is an unbelievable player.
He spent some time on the injury list. I think that might have been missing some games, you know, with these, you know, with the outstanding, there are some outstanding special teams players in the league.
Do you guys know anything of Mike Thomas?
Yeah, concussion did not come back. As with a concussion, it's always taking a look at him next day, see how the progress
Clint
is.
Clint Session had that concussion. They had to set him up for the whole year.
And Roth has been out since that. So,
that's what I'm afraid of. Yep. It might be a couple of weeks. But these other guys have to step up a little better. And, you know, I think we'll be okay. Somebody that said to you earlier, our draft pick is going to go, you know. No, I want to win, man. I want to see these guys do a little better, not just give it up because we need to get a better first-round pick. I don't want to say that, but that's...
You're talking, you want to see something to build on for next year.
Yeah, I want to see progress. I want to see Blaine Gabbert sit there in that pocket. Yes, you're going to get hit. You're going to get hit. You're going to get hit. No matter what you do, you're going to get hit, okay, by the 300 guy. I want you to step up and be a man. I'm watching the Green Bay game right now, and the guy that's – I mean, the Green Bay quarterback, that guy is unbelievable, man.
Yeah, well, you're welcome to the party. Aaron Rodgers is having maybe the greatest year a quarterback's ever had. He's been fantastic. So, again, Aaron Rodgers is not a 22-year-old rookie. So, again, a work in progress. Saqib, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. 800-355-NFL1. Amazing how one game can turn, isn't it? How how a fan's perspective on a player can change in one game. Chuck in Orange Park, you're up here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Chuck, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How you guys doing?
Good. What's on your mind?
Just have a few things to say about Blaine Gabbert. Enjoyed watching the game today. He did really well. He actually had some receivers that caught the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just want the fans to know that, you know, when Peyton Manning started out, he didn't do very well. You know, he had horrible seasons, but they gave him time, and he progressed and got better.
Well, he had a very bad statistical season his first year, but
exactly.
In terms of the interceptions, he was still pretty good. I mean, he still threw 20-plus touchdowns.
I understand that. And, you know, Blaine Gabbert doesn't have a veteran, you know, to look behind, you know. Like Tom Brady had, Drew Bledsoe?
Right.
Even Aaron Rodgers you were just talking about.
Yeah,
I mean, he had Brett Favre for how long?
Mm-hmm. Yep,
so,
3-4 years.
And exactly. So I think we should just give him the time, and he's going to get better. I mean, you can see it. And also I wanted to say about the running back, Harris. I want to see some more touches. You know, it is coming to the end of the year, and I believe he can be a really good backup for, you know, Maurice Jones-Drew. You know, he's got some explosiveness, and he showed some today.
Yeah, the key with him is holding on to the football.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he holds, because he had some problems with that in the preseason, but boy, he can run. He's a good runner.
When you look at New Orleans, how they have those.
He kind of reminds me of Walter Payton. The way he runs.
Oh, are you kidding?
Well,
no, I'm not saying he's as good.
We haven't seen him just run through somebody. Maurice Jones-Drew reminds us more of Walter Payton than this guy.
yeah. But I definitely enjoyed the game today. You know, talking about the draft pick, I don't even care about next year. You know, it's all about winning the game, you know, and Jacksonville needs that, you know, and once, you know, Blaine Gabbert's confidence gets built up. You've seen what he did today. You know, once the receivers start catching a few balls, his confidence builds, and he's just going to get better.
Yeah, I mean, again, this was a good game to build on for him for sure. Chuck, thanks for the call. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Take our final break, come back, take a couple of calls, and call it a day. Jaguars win it 41-14 over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We're back with more after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome you back to the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Cole Pemper, Marco Coleman here. 800-355-NFL1. Let's get one more in here before we call tonight. Derek is on the south side. He's up on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Derek, how you doing?
Good. How you guys doing?
Good.
A quick comment about the game. I guess before I say anything, I guess you could scratch everything I say if Gabbert becomes a star. I believe he has the potential to be a star, but that's just it, just potential. Overall, I'm just not totally pleased with the direction of how the drafts have gone overall, and the strategy, just my opinion, on what Smith is doing as far as trading up and giving away draft picks. I think that idea to do that is awful, except for Gabbert. I got no problem with trading up to get your quarterback, but not anybody else. And I'm just not really totally pleased about what he does.
Okay.
What do you think, guys?
Well, the only other real trade-up he made was Derek Cox, that as far as significant trade-up, where he traded up. Right. Traded a second-round pick from the following year to get Cox in the third round. Didn't trade up to get Alualu. Didn't trade up to get Eugene Monroe. So it hadn't happened that often. The way Cox has played this year before he got hurt, was he worth a second-round pick?
In my opinion, I guess it's still to be determined. I guess a lot of people could say yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think it looks like it was. It certainly doesn't look like it was a bad move.
Right.
Whether it's a home run or not, yet to be determined. And then Gabbert, you know, when you think you can get your franchise quarterback, and again, whether he is or not, yet to be determined.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah,
guys.
Yeah. So really, you're talking about is it more about you'd rather them stay where they are or trade back and get more draft picks?
I prefer either stay where you're at or trade down. And the problem with that is, with the Cox in particular, you got him in the third. And from what I've heard in the draft reports, he was slated to go in the fourth. So that's why it made, in my opinion, no sense.
Well,
for that one.
Yeah, you know, be careful on those things because, you know, usually, especially the small school guys do not get the same kind of attention or credence from the quote-unquote draft experts that it will from a number of scouts and decision makers. So I don't believe that he would have lasted to the fourth round. I don't believe he would have lasted through the third round. William and Mary had played a decent schedule. They played in the ACC against North Carolina State, so it wasn't like they were only playing you know, the liberties of the world. So, but that's crystal ball stuff, you know.
Right. Final point, guys, I want to make is, and the reason I don't like to give away picks is you don't get the quality, in my opinion, cheap depth that teams like the Steelers always seem to have.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have great players in multiple areas, like two real good running backs, two real good, you know, tight ends, you know, like the Patriots have. Without extra draft picks, we can't get those type picks.
All right, thank you for the call, Derek. Appreciate it. I actually like what they do, what the Jaguars have done, especially with undrafted rookies and later round picks. I think they've been pretty good as far as that's concerned.
I think the picks are good. My just question, just the last two, you know, is as far as where they were picked. I just still don't think that they were top 10 material. Now, I'm not saying that they're not good players, will eventually even be great players. But I think at the time, I think you know, picking guys at that, you're looking for an immediate impact, and I don't think that these guys were able to provide the major impact for.
You may have been looking for the immediate impact. They were not looking for immediate impact with Gabbert. I mean,
like I said, but they anticipated, I'm pretty sure, having David Garrard play least this season.
Exactly. So that's where that went.
So now we wouldn't even have this discussion this year.
You're saying, well, we'll see what Gabbert does
next year.
All right. Well, that'll do it for us here on the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. Jaguars win it 41-14 over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Jaguars now 4-9 on the season. A record-setting day for the Jaguars defense. They forced 7 takeaways, defense and special teams combined. That's a franchise record. Maurice Jones-Drew, 4 touchdowns. He has 73 in his career. In 90 games, he's become the Jaguars' all-time leader in terms of touchdowns scored. And Blaine Gabbert looked better today. 2 touchdowns and a very snappy 2-minute drill after, as Eugene Monroe told us, Jaguars spent more time the last couple of weeks on the 2-minute drill in practice. All the Jaguars' 3 units, offense, defense, and special teams scored, and the Jaguars tied a franchise record with 28 points in the second quarter. Next up, a short turnaround. Thursday night in Atlanta to take on Mike Smith's Falcons. 8:20 for kickoff. We'll have coverage for you here beginning at, 5:15, 5:30, something like that. Have a great night, everybody, and enjoy it from Jaguar Central.